We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Monday. Happy Monday, day before Election Day. As always, we're going to start the week with a look at your money in the markets. Dave Spano is back, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. He'll join us in just a couple minutes. I'm looking forward to his pre-Election Day analysis. Obviously, voters, many of us have already cast our ballots, but we'll go to the polls tomorrow. We may not know the outcome right away. Maybe weeks, could be days. You got to look back to 2000. It took 24 days for the U.S. Supreme Court to declare a winner, and the S&P 500 fell 4% during that period. Admittedly, the year 2000, the political and the economic and the market landscapes were quite different. It was kind of the dot-com bubble bursting, interest rates rising at that point. But, you know, there's one thing today for sure the U.S. equity market has in common with 24 years ago. Stocks are trading at a bit of a premium, so we're going to get Dave's take on the markets and much more. In the second half of the show, the village clerk from Shorewood, Wisconsin, Toya Harrell, will join us. Unlike a lot of other states, obviously Wisconsin's election system is decentralized. Administration of elections is handled by the 1,800 municipal clerks working across the state, each clerk responsible for the election within their community. So we're going to get an update on preparations, day of process, turnout expectations, and just see how early voting has been in this suburb that is just outside the city of Milwaukee. But first, let's go on this beautiful Monday to Up.
Now it's time for the
1, 2, 2
Up on the Upswing.
The Friday election rallies, I mean, they seem like they were weeks ago, but it was just a couple nights ago. Holding rallies in greater Milwaukee Friday night, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump stayed overnight just a few blocks away from one another in downtown Milwaukee. Harris stayed at the Pfister Hotel, that beautiful historic landmark on East Wisconsin Avenue, while Trump stayed just a few blocks away at the Westin Milwaukee on North Van Buren Street. Both hotels told me when I reached out over the weekend for the privacy of our guests. We do not comment on who may or may not be staying at our properties, but a quick look at rates. If you look at the Pfister, the Heritage Suite King, $406 a night. The Pfister King Suite, $208 per night. The Westin Milwaukee, I couldn't find rates on the Presidential Suite as they vary, but kind of the standard room rates at the Westin, $259 per night. Candidates, you could see the police cars, the DMV trucks, the Secret Service all around, but by 9:30, the following day, both campaigns had left downtown heading to their Saturday rallies. All right, next up, $72.8 million for rail. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation joined Federal Railroad Administration officials last Thursday in Milwaukee to celebrate a federal investment that will help shape the future of freight and passenger rail services in Wisconsin. WisDOT will receive $72.8 million grant from the FRA for the Muskego Freight Rail Yard Bypass Project that's going to reconfigure existing track and yard facilities along the Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railway Corridor in Milwaukee. A really good update. It's going to give the ability for freight trains to kind of bypass the passenger rail and give a whole lot more existing service and benefit for rail traffic. Upgrading the rail and creating a two-way, two-track main line will allow for freight trains to bypass the Milwaukee Intermodal Station. This will minimize passenger delays and free up track capacity, according to a news release. Ticket prices, just by the way, I looked into them, offered between $19 and $37 based upon demand and event purchases. Monthly passes are available. Chicago to Milwaukee for $650, a 10-ride ticket, also available with a new maximum price of only $230. So if you're taking the Amtrak, your experience is going to continue to get better and better. All right, when we come back, let's look into the markets with the CEO of NX Wealth Management, Dave Spano.
The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO at NX Wealth Management. Dave, happy Monday to you. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy Monday.
Of course. So last week, Dave, stocks wrapped up kind of a volatile week with gains on Friday, shares of Amazon and Intel, and it helped power the S&P 500 to recoup some of its losses from the prior session. How are you, just as we get into, you know, one day away from Election Day, how are you addressing client concerns around market volatility? And are you sensing any unease?
Yeah, yes.
Because I think we all are.
Well, yeah. I mean, you either have this big emotional reaction to or, you know, against, right, your candidate. So the people that are for Trump are all in, and the people that are against them hate him, you know. So there's this big emotional reaction. But I try to implement this sense of history. And just in the last couple of elections, I remember when President Obama was elected, all my conservative friends called me and said, sell everything, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, that didn't happen. And then when Trump won, I assure you that all my liberal friends called me and said, he for certain is going to blow up the world and we're done. Well, that didn't happen either. And so I try to say, let's look at this from a sense of history. The stock market generally goes up over time and has done so, you know, since World War II. So let's look at this from a sense of history and say, if a company sells more widgets, whatever it is, if it's chips or if it's paint or if it's, you know, McDonald's hamburgers, whatever it is, do they sell more stuff and do they get more income from that net income? We can put a multiple on that, and that's what we're going to continue to look at. And so, you know, number one, sense of history. And number two, I would say, if you really are concerned, you can put some guardrails on your portfolio. So just pick a number, 5, 10, 20%. And if you want to set that aside and put it in cash, that's fine. Yeah. But this whole binary decision of selling everything and going to cash to try to time the market has not been a winning strategy, you know, in the 40 years I've been doing this.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it for sure. How about international diversification? Are you sensing some angst around that and getting a lot of calls?
Yeah. Well, they're saying, well, if Trump wins and all these tariffs are going to go in, you know, I kind of am looking at that as this is a negotiating tactic, right? And, you know, will you put 20% tariffs on everything that comes in the country? Well, that's, you know, and get into a tariff war, a trade war. Well, obviously that's not good. But if you're going to use it as a negotiating tactic like he did last time, if he wins, by the way, it is a flip. It's a flip of a coin. You look at all the economic indicators. You look at all of the polls. Nobody really knows. You look at the betting odds, and, you know, Trump's got 55 to 45. But other than that, every indicator says we don't know. And so let's take a look at this stuff and say, all right, you know, if this happens, what do we think about international diversification? Yes, of course, it reduces you know, risk across geographies and economies and politics. So, and by the way, there are great companies that are based here in the United States that do business around the world, Coca-Cola, Apple, Intel, pick a name, that get a lot of their income and a lot of their sales from around the world. Mm-hmm. So you can buy a United States company that does business around the world.
Yeah. I mean, one of those companies, obviously, NVIDIA. And when we come back, I want to talk about NVIDIA joining Dow Jones Industrial Average next week, kind of swapping out, and also Sherwin-Williams joining the Dow. I want to get your thoughts on that. Dave Spano, CEO of NX Wealth Management. I'm Jeff Sherman. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. So, Dave, Intel's shares have declined by 54% this year, making it the worst performer on the index. It will be replaced by Intel on the Dow Jones this week, kind of a swap that obviously reflects the reversal of fortunes here. What are your thoughts here, and how does it reflect kind of the position of AI and GPU and technology that we're entering now with the market?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. So, you know, you said the index, and the Dow Jones is probably the most recognized, but it is really not the one that is used in the industry. Most companies use the Standard & Poor's 500, the 500 largest companies in the Standard & Poor's Index. And there's lots of reasons. It's how it's done. Is it cap weighted versus a different way to look at it? And so you look at cap weighted, which is, you know, the size of the company.
Mm-hmm.
The Dow Jones is not. It's price weighted, and that's a big deal. So, by the way, these things change all the time. The Dow 30, it's just 30 stocks. And they try to, the committee tries to find some companies that are representative. But I can tell you, in the 1980s, you had, you know, when I started, there were companies like Bethlehem Steel and American Can and Goodyear Tires. Mm-hmm. They're all gone, right? And so for NVIDIA to get added and replace Intel just goes to show you, you know, how the world is changing. And of course, AI is going to be part of that as we go forward. And NVIDIA, one of the, if not the highest capitalized company on the exchange, we're not surprised to see that. And, you know, there will be new entrants that will take part of their margins. And so let's look at that. And I'm not really surprised that they took that up.
Yeah.
Because the Dow is going to replace companies like Intel for lots of reasons, and one of them is just they really didn't, you know, they didn't pivot very well. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Well, and Sherwin-Williams joining the Dow as well. I mean, does this look into construction, housing markets, and obviously the role that innovation have played there for Sherwin?
Yeah. So you look at, there's a committee. There's literally a committee that sits around and says, you know, how are we going to have some type of representation in a sector? There's this 11 sectors, you know. There is utilities, and there's tech, and there's healthcare. So this is in the materials sector. And so they look and say, you know, we need some exposure to the materials sector. And, you know, the materials sector is the number one company that's UK domiciled. And people forget that. It doesn't have to be a United States company. And so Sherwin seemed to be a logical choice to do that. And, you know, it says Dow, and people think about either the Dow Jones or the Dow that it is replacing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dow spun them off, you know, years ago. So it's just an opportunity for them to have exposure in another sector. So not surprised, but paint obviously is one of those things. That, you know, when we have to paint, I call a painter.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Everyone needs the house painted at one point.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
I have trouble with keeping it between the lines.
So I got a text from the WTMJ talking text line, and I wanted to talk about jobs and confidence a little bit here. But from the 414, says, I'm applying for jobs right now. How do you see the hiring market experiencing a relative freeze until the election? And just what are the implications of the election on the jobs market?
Yep. So imagine that you're in a boardroom and the CEO is sitting around with his CFO and the rest of his top tier guys, and they go, what are we going to do? And they go, we just don't know. You know, if she gets in, all of these things are going to happen. If he gets in, all of these things are going to happen. And so there's this uncertainty. So once you get by the election and we ultimately find out who is going to sit at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and more importantly, or as importantly, what the makeup of Congress is, that uncertainty will begin to get removed. And on top of that, you're going to have the Federal Reserve. They're going to announce on Thursday. So we're going to start to remove some of this uncertainty.
Yeah.
And by the way, and people forget this, the reason why the Federal Reserve is trying to slow down inflation, wage inflation is a big part of that. And so by raising the interest rates, that not only slows down the inflation, which it did, but it also slows down a super hot job market. That was part of their plan to try to do that. And so a lot of, you can see that these open jobs, what they're doing is just pulling the open jobs off the list. And so they're still going to look for the right person and try to get it. So I think after the election, you're going to have a little bit more certainty.
Yeah, for sure. What else is coming up this week? You said, the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meets Thursday. Do you think we'll see change on interest rates this quick after the election?
Yeah, I do. I think because you mentioned the jobs report, and it certainly shows a slowing, and we're seeing a lot of economic data that is showing a slowing, we talked about hard landing, soft landing, or no landing, showing a no landing scenario at the moment. We're going to see some Chinese GDP. I think that's important because they're a huge trading partner. And, of course, the Federal Reserve. And hopefully we get an election result.
Mm-hmm.
We may or may not, but hopefully we can get all the stuff behind us and get back to making everybody go back to work and start thinking about these things and incessantly get rid of these texts off my phone, Jeff.
I know. The texts, they keep coming in, the robocalls. You vote already, Dave?
I did, and I'm Dave Spano, and I approve this message.
All right, very good. Enjoy the rest of the week, Dave. We'll talk to you again next Monday.
See you, bud.
All right. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Preparing you for Election Day tomorrow. More than 60 million people had already voted as of Friday. Countless everyday people who check the registration rolls, direct people to voting booths, they refill the coffee for volunteers, they hand out the wonderful I voted stickers. They're ready as well. They've received the proper training. So I wanted to know what it all looks like at my community level, what the election day process will look like in my community. That's the Village of Shorewood. So joining us on the phone is Toya Harrell. Toya is the village clerk in Shorewood. She's also the vice president of the Wisconsin Municipal Clerks Association Board of Directors. Thanks for taking your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Of course. So how did early voting look like in the village compared to last couple of years? Every time I seem to drive by or walk by the village hall, there was always a line down the steps.
Yeah. So the last general election that I worked at in 2022, the total number of absentee ballots that were received were 4,086. So as of today, we haven't received all the ballots, but as of today, 6,384 absentee ballots have been received or been returned. We have mailed out 6,735.
Hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So an increase over last time for sure. So what is your day going to look like tomorrow? Give us, when you're up, when you get to work, and just kind of talk us through the process.
So I come to work at about 5:15 in the morning, and I review any emails that the chief inspectors might have sent me the night before. And if they send a list of items that they still need, I make sure that those items are prepared. I go over to the polling locations. I start at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Each polling location, we deliver donuts and coffee to one location. I get coffee, the rest gets donuts. I make frequent visits to each polling location. I pretty much serve as their supply restocker.
Okay.
I also serve as IT for any troubleshooting that may occur with Badger Books. Primarily, if the voter tape isn't printing, and there are usually minor troubleshooting things that I need to do with Badger Books, which is our electronic poll book.
Okay.
I'm there to answer any questions that a chief inspector, election inspector, or even a voter may have. My chiefs always contact me if there's someone there that has a question. And then I just come over there and I answer all the questions that arise on that day.
Okay. We're talking with Toya Harrell, the village clerk in the Village of Shorewood. So what's your staff and volunteer count look like for tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have 79 election inspectors and chief inspectors. Also, it's myself, my deputy clerk, and also the elections and licensing clerk. We'll all be working tomorrow.
Okay. Any new training or security features specifically for tomorrow?
We have not had any new training.
Okay.
Our trainings are pretty concise and they're pretty consistent. All of my election inspectors have to attend a training before they're allowed to work. And the trainings are either done in person or online, because a lot of times it's not easy to get everybody to come in person. And so we have had, I have Zoom meetings with my chief inspectors. We have phone call meetings. We have personal meetings to go over any troubleshooting or anything that they're concerned about for Election Day so that we can get prepped. The online training is done through Wisconsin Elections Commission's ElectEd, which is an election training portal that they have that tracks their hours. And it also lets me know which trainings they haven't completed. And so when I see that a training hasn't been completed, I'll reach out to election inspectors and say, hey, did you have any questions? Let's talk it over. Things like that. I email reminders periodically to my election inspectors and to the chiefs as well, especially if there's any updates that come about. And our election process is done in a very bipartisan way.
Mm-hmm.
So representatives are there from both parties.
Okay.
And so in past elections, this isn't a new thing either, but in past elections, I've also always asked for members or officers from the police department to come and just kind of check, you know, do a check of everything, check in with the chiefs to see if, you know, there's anything that's arising that may need their attention. They check in with me also.
Very good. Toya Harrell is the village clerk the village of Shorewood. Toya, if you can stay around a little bit, I want to get your thoughts and just specifically tell us the ballot life cycle journey and what that looks like after I scan my ballot. When we come back, more on the voting process in your community. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman in Wisconsin's decentralized administrative system. Clerks from the largest cities all the way to the smallest towns and villages, they're charged with staying on top of the ever-changing system and getting a ballot into voters' hands. In many ways, clerks are the face for our election, so I am thankful that the village clerk in the village of Shorewood's taking time with us this morning. Thanks again, Toya. So a couple just basic questions for you. If I'm voting, as I'm voting tomorrow, can someone assist someone with voting if they need help?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All of our polling locations have that ability. And yes, you can serve as an assistant. Then you'll be directed on that day of where you would sign on the ballot as the assister.
Okay. And how can I verify voter registration status no matter what? You know, one can always register at the polls tomorrow, right? Even if you're a first-time voter.
Yep. So you can verify your voter registration in one of two ways. You can contact your municipal clerk, certainly, and they can check that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to the My Vote page, which in Wisconsin, it's www.myvote.wi.gov. And then what you'd want to do is click on the tab that says you want to check your voter information or voter registration information.
Okay. And what if I got an absentee ballot in the mail, but I didn't use it? I've had a couple of people ask me this question, so I wanted to get your direct answer.
So if you got an absentee ballot in the mail, but you wish to vote in person, either during in-person absentee voting or now, for Election Day, then you would just email your municipal clerk. You provide your name, you provide your date of birth, and that's just for verification purposes. And then you would request to have your ballot canceled because you wish to vote in person. If you don't have computer access or if you're nearby the clerk's office, stop into the clerk's office and then just put that in writing and provide the same information.
Okay, so even on election day, let's say I got the absentee ballot, I want to vote in person. Mm-hmm. Could I bring that ballot in and do it right there?
No, and the reason why you can't is that we are no longer a polling location on election day.
Okay.
We are a polling location, the clerk's department, the polling location during in-person absentee voting. So what we would have you do, and luckily, Sherwood is a great walkable community, so it's easy to get from the clerk's office even to either one of our three polling locations.
Okay, very good. So talk us through the ballot life cycle journey. After it's scanned, I get that wonderful I voted sticker. What happens?
So it's important to for me to also say that this is a very transparent and consistent process. So it's the same process that's done throughout the state of Wisconsin by municipal clerks. So after a ballot is scanned in and you see that it's been returned on your MyVote page, the ballot is then securely locked away. So it is stored in a very secured place. And it is not counted. And a lot of people think that their ballot is counted at that point, but it's important for them to know that your ballot is not counted by the clerk's department. It's only received by the clerk's department or to the clerk's department. Your ballot is actually counted on election day. So on election day, we deliver the ballots to Central, then our municipality at Central Count. And on Central Count, they process and then the ballot is then counted.
Okay, very good. Toya Harrell, member of the International Institute of Municipal Clerks and the village clerk in the village of Sherwood. All the best on election day tomorrow. I know it'll be a fun, long day for you, but we appreciate all that you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate this.
All right, thank you very much. When we come back, what's on your ballot in Racine and Kenosha counties? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, getting you ready for Election Day tomorrow. So much happening in Racine and Kenosha counties. If you're voting in those counties, what's on your ballot? WTMJ's Adam Roberts tells you now.
Vote. And Tom Spider-Man sent you.
We're nearly to Election Day 2024, and if you haven't early voted yet, the window to do that has now passed in Wisconsin, and your only opportunity left to cast a ballot will be in person on Election Day. So let's continue our series taking a look at what you can expect on your ballot when you head off to the polls.
All I want you to do is get out and vote.
Our final stops are to Racine and Kenosha counties, both of which are fully encompassed by U.S. House District 1 for the state of Wisconsin, where Republican incumbent Brian Stile holds power and will face challenges from Democrat Peter Barca and the Green Party's Chester Todd Jr. That race is in addition to the U.S. Senate race pitting incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin against Republican Eric Hovde and third-party candidates Phil Anderson and Thomas Leaguer. Of course, you'll also be voting for president in this election. At the state level, perhaps the most interesting race in the Wisconsin Assembly is in District 33, encompassing much of Racine County and portions of neighboring Walworth County. There, incumbent Assembly Speaker Robin Voss will face a challenge from two candidates, including an independent Kelly Clark, who was involved in recall efforts against Voss earlier this year. The Assembly Speaker will also face a challenge from Democrat Alan Kupsick. Looking at the other contested Assembly races, in District 32, Amanda Nedweski will take on Democrat Michael Dinza. In District 64, Democrat incumbent Tip McGuire faces Ed Hipsch, the Republican. In District 65, Ben DeSmit, the Democrat, takes on Republican Brian Gonzalez. District 66 sees Democrat incumbent Greta Neubauer face a challenge from Republican David DeGroot. And in District 84, Chuck Wichgers, the Republican incumbent, takes on Zachary Roper, the Democrat. The Wisconsin State Senate sees just one contested race in Racine and Kenosha counties. In District 28, Republican incumbent Julian Bradley faces Democrat Megan Locke.
Let's do that. Let's vote.
At the municipal level, the Kenosha County District Attorney will have a two-horse race between Democrat Carly McNeil and Republican Xavier Solis. Additionally, three school districts, all in Racine County, will have referendums on the ballot this fall. They include Union Grove, Waterford, and the town of Raymond. Finally, a few reminders before you head off to cast your ballot this year. Since early voting has now ended, as mentioned before, you can only vote in person on Election Day, and that means you may need to register in person at your polling location if you have not yet done so. If you are registering day of, make sure to bring both a driver's license or other state-issued ID, as well as a proof of residency, things such as a lease, utility bill, or a bank statement. And as a reminder, if you are in line before the polls officially close at 8 p.m. on Tuesday, remember that you cannot be turned away and must be allowed to vote. Polls officially open Tuesday starting at 7 a.m. Adam Roberts, WTMJ News.
Election Day tomorrow. Tomorrow on the show, perks, promotions, and discounts for Election Day. How can that work and who's offering them, including creative ways to get to your polling place with discounts from Uber and Lyft. And James Madison fellow Jesse Perez, a teacher in the area, will give us his unique takes on teaching civics to children. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about dealing with parents during the election cycle as well. And we're going to check in at polling places throughout the area. Whatever you do, make a plan to vote tomorrow. Tee up all the people in your phone and remind them to vote as well.